least if you follow the jobs report that came out for the month of May and the unemployment numbers and the stock market. I guess happy days are not really here again, but we wanted to give you a little bit of positive news before we go too far into the program. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being here on this Monday, June the 8th. Ed, as I was, it's 86 degrees out there, man. It's already, I can't believe it's that hot and humid here.
Boy, it's June.
Yeah, it really is. And we finally got some rain out there as well. Anyway, in a few minutes, Michael Farron, an economist at George Mason University, going to be with us. And we're going to talk about the aforementioned surprisingly good May economic report. And the question is, are we coming out of the crisis? We are going to talk about that. And there is now talk around the country about defunding police departments. What do they mean by that, defunding? Taking all the money away? I mean, it's not reforming, it's defunding. Can anyone be serious about that concept? Well, they seem to be in Minneapolis, where George Floyd was killed. We're going to take a look at that. And there seems to be kind of an eerie similarity to the protesting of today and the rioting, and that of 1968, when Law and Order candidate Richard Nixon captured the White House. Is this deja vu all over again? We'll talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest action films of all time. Of all time. You gotta stick around and find out what they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best place you guys can go for a haircut in Tampa Bay. It is located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Now, you got to make reservations these days. So here's the deal. Call 733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. All right. Well, can't wait to talk with Mike Farron. He works in the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, and we got some really good numbers. I mean, it just like knocked everybody's socks off for the month of May. The question is whether or not that's a trend or a blip. So we're going to talk about that. In the meantime, what is going on in Minneapolis? Don't we got trouble enough? Minneapolis and its city council yesterday came up with a veto-proof push to disband the Minneapolis Police Department. Can you imagine? Who are you going to call? Somebody breaks into your car, breaks into your house, breaks something over your head. Who are you going to call? A social worker? You're going to call an ambulance? If any violent crime is committed in Minneapolis, who goes to help? Are we just ignoring it? What are we going to turn it into? Like the Wild Wild West? Everybody pack heat? I don't know. It's becoming, apparently the new term, Ed, is woke. So if you're for defunding a police department, let's say we defund for the sake of argument, the Clearwater Police Department. The first thing I would do is buy an extra lock for the house, and secondly, I would go get a gun. What do you think?
I mean, it's such a crazy, stupid idea.
It's not even worth discussing.
You just want to let it happen. So you can see. I told you.
I mean, it's just.
But I mean, a lot of people. There's probably a lot of land for sale right now in Minneapolis.
It's like a science fiction story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of. It's so weird.
Now I understand the mayor can't do anything about it because the city council voted for it.
Well, at least the mayor knows that it's stupid. He's trying to stop it.
Wasn't the mayor's son on the city council, though?
Yeah, the mayor's son is a Black Lives Matter guy.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess the governor could step in. Who's the governor of Minnesota?
Now, you put me in a very funny, awkward position, Ed. I don't know who the governor of Minnesota is. I should know, perhaps, being the enlightened being that I am, but I don't know who it is. Anyway, I believe it's a Democrat. We'll have to look
That's
it up.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But you're right about the mayor. The mayor doesn't want it. But what's going on with the city council? Many activists have been pushing, at least for their cities, to defund local departments. It's not just in Minneapolis. But in Minneapolis, veto-proof push, the members spoke at a protest at a park in neighborhood Minneapolis yesterday. And let's see here.
The governor is Tim Walz.
Yes, that's right. I believe he's a Democrat, correct? Or am I wrong about that? I'm not even sure if he's a Democrat.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Well,
he's a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
Okay.
Does that make a difference, or?
I don't know. I mean, you would think farmers tend to be a little more conservative.
You say, are we dressing up the word a little bit?
Well, no. I'm just thinking about it. The farmers tend to be, a more conservative Democratic lot if they're in the Democratic Party than, say, an inner city resident. That would be my thought. But anyway, you're right. One of the council members is involved with the office of the mayor. Oh, here it is. Most members of the city council actually belong to the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
Oh, boy.
Okay? So whatever it is, the Democratic Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party, most of the council belongs to it. And here's what one of them said. This is the council president, Lisa Bender. Our commitment is to end our city's toxic relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department. Oh, really? It is clear that our system of policing is not keeping our community safe. Our efforts at incremental reform have failed. Okay, there you go. So let's get rid of the police department. If I were you folks and you're listening from Minneapolis, maybe you better, I don't know, would you consider moving out? It's getting kind of scary. And if you have a veto-proof majority, I wonder where that's going to go.
Something about they wanted to replace the police with public service.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
With bad language.
Yeah, that'll work
on the criminals.
Good. That'll work real good. Can you imagine somebody knowing, somebody that's involved as a career criminal, knowing that there aren't going to be any cops if you do whatever you want to do? I mean, come on. And of course, as is always the case, when you start start trying to nullify police and things that they say and do, the first communities that are hurt are the inner city communities where you would hope to make things better. I mean, look, with all due respect, if you don't have police that can go to the inner city where a lot of the crime is, if not most of it, in these cities, you're in big trouble. You can't do that, folks.
You got to remember, doesn't the state of Minnesota have that Omar lady in there?
Yes, I think she does come from Minnesota. That's another mistake. I don't know what's going on with you people in Minnesota. I used to respect all of your thinking politically, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, things are changing.
Maybe we should just put a fence around Minnesota, let it run its course, and then see what happens.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
They call it land of 1,000 lakes or something like that. Or
I thought that was Michigan.
No.
Oh.
Minnesota.
Oh.
You're getting your states mixed up.
Well, it starts with an M. Close.
Yeah, it does start with an M-I.
It's in the U.S.
Or M-I. Yeah, M-I. Anyway, we're going to talk about good news numbers with Michael Farron.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, all I want is a party doll to come along with me when I'm feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair, to run her fingers.
Hey, we are back on a very warm and muggy Monday in Tampa, and delighted to have Michael Farron join us. He is an economist and a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, and he has been reflecting on the somewhat surprising economic report that has come out for the month of May and also April. Michael, what do you attribute the good numbers to? I can't really see any particular thing. The stock market seems to be doing well again. What's going on?
Hi, Paul. The reason why the numbers are so much better is that we're essentially a month ahead of schedule in terms of the economic recovery. There was two effects that were causing the drop in unemployment, or drop in employment. The first is a recessionary effect caused by the pandemic and people's and businesses' responses to that, avoiding going out and mixing in the marketplace and going to stores and closing their stores. But also there was another effect of suppression, that the mandatory business closures that states and cities implemented to try to contain the spread of COVID while we were trying to figure out what exactly was going on. And a lot of states started reopening the same week that the data surveys were being conducted to assess the May unemployment rate. So what we're seeing is a surge in people coming back into the labor force as businesses were reopening, as they were allowed to reopen, as those shutdowns were ending.
Yes. Now, the stock market really took off last week towards the end of the week, and I'm looking at the numbers and where it is as opposed to where it was before we had the epidemic, you know, the beginnings of the epidemic, and it's almost, when I'm looking at the stock market, it's almost like nothing happened. Now, of course, we know that, you know, we're still involved. I mean, are we in a blip, Michael? Do you think it's going to last? What do you think?
In terms of stock market
well,
numbers?
Well, no, in terms of the good, like we had what, unemployment rate dropping over a point from like 14.7 to 13.3. I mean, we seem to be having good news. I mean, do you think it's a trend? Is this going to continue going positive?
I fully expect it to continue because you only had a limited number of states reopening their economies in mid-May. So by the time that the June jobs numbers are being collected, which is actually going to be happening this week, you should see a lot more states reopening and a lot more businesses reopening as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would expect the numbers to be released the first week of July to be even better than the May numbers.
Wow. Well, even the White House economists people were not predicting that we'd have a turnaround that quickly. I mean, Donald Trump has been very optimistic. He thinks we're going to be back better than ever, you know, in a few months. But, I mean, that's why I guess, I you know, here we are. You look at the, you know, the number of deaths from the COVID-19 situation, and we break 100,000, what was it, last week in deaths. And then we got the rioting. And, you know, we've got a combination of factors, and then this stuff comes out. Now, I know the numbers may not reflect the rioting because maybe they, you know, they were prepared beforehand, but it just seems like it doesn't make any difference. The economy's going to come roaring back, you know? Your thought.
That's completely understandable, and I think that it is under showing a deep lying strength in the American economy and people's desire to get back to work with the 2.5 million additional jobs that were that people went back to last month. But one thing that we should be cautious about is that there are still over 20 million people who are officially unemployed, and that it's going to take a while to for all of the jobs to come back, for us to get back to the level that we were at in February. And on top of that, the reduction of the unemployment rate is definitely a good thing. But the real unemployment rate is probably higher than what a lot of people realize and what even a lot of economists realize, because there's some misclassification in the Bureau of Labor Statistics data where some people have been telling their surveyors that they are still employed, they're just absent from work, rather than being temporarily furloughed like they probably actually are.
Oh, okay.
So because of that, the BLS estimates that the unemployment rate is probably closer or above 16%.
Okay.
But when you count the number of people who are no longer in the labor force, and there's about 6.3 million people fewer in the labor force today than there were back in February, those people probably haven't all retired. They're probably just not meeting the required definitions to be counted as unemployed, like those misclassified people. So when you add those people in, the February pre-pandemic equivalent comparable unemployment rate is probably closer to 19%.
Wow.
But it was 23.5% last month. So things are definitely moving in the right direction. It's just worth saying that it's going to take a while to climb back out of the hole. But it's really good news that we're already starting the journey.
Yeah, it does seem to be. We're talking with Michael Farah, and he is a research fellow. He's an economist at the Mercatus Center at the great George Mason University. And we're talking about the surprising economic report that came out, and here we are, you know, running around with all of the rioting and the protesting and all of the politics, and we still got the virus going on. And I would think that good news like this would bode well for Trump, whether or not he has much to do with it when it comes to these numbers. Obviously, he will tout that. But do you think, Michael, that because of the pandemic and all of the job losses, that there is some permanent damage here?
There's definitely some sort of permanent damage whenever there is a recession. It's not always necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes it gives an opportunity for people to move into positions that are a better fit for them than they were beforehand. But there's always some sort of permanent damage, and especially at the household level, someone who has lost their job and fully lost their job, not just on temporary furlough, is going to say that things were stable and good for me and my family before, and now I have to find something new, or I have to shift to a brand new career. So long run, I think that we will be able to climb out of this, but there's always short-term damage,
yeah,
especially for individual households.
Sure. You know, I'm thinking about the small businesses that have gone under because of it. I know some people that are just, I'm not kidding you, they're using a straw to keep from completely going underwater with their business. Some of these big box stores that are closing and not reopening, newspapers. You know, here in Tampa Bay, our newspaper no longer publishes. The one newspaper we have, the big one, the Tampa Bay Times, only comes out twice a week now. I mean, to me, I wonder if that, you know, what's going on here? Are they going to come back? And I know we're moving towards more of a, you know, home economy kind of thing, but like these box stores, I worry about it.
Absolutely. Essentially, situations like this forced us into the future faster than we would have been there anyway. It forces us to adjust faster than we would have liked to, and so that adjustment period is more difficult. So businesses may shift using cheaper, more labor-saving technologies, or make other adjustments, including going out of business. And then the future economy ends up being built on the resources that were then kind of discarded during the recession, but then repurposed to more productive uses later on.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, though, that the vast majority of the people who are unemployed on temporary furlough, not permanent layoff. And so the recovery from this recession should be substantially faster than the recovery from a typical recession, especially one with unemployment rate as high as we currently see, because people are still connected, for the most part, with their jobs, and they don't have to go through that whole job search and selection process in order to find new work. So we're definitely in a recession, but hopefully the recovery from it will be much swifter than, say, the Great Recession.
Well, that's great news. I mean, really great news. I fully expected we were going to go through the summer in a sort of a bleak, hanging on by our fingernails mode. And yet you seem to indicate that this is not really a, quote, blip. It's a trend, correct?
I would fully expect it to be a trend. The question is, at what point do we level off? So we're going to probably come back at least next month, still see pretty quick job increases and come back fairly quickly. At what do we get back up to the level that we were at previously, or does this increasing trend level off at some lower level of employment and economic activity than we were at previously? And at that point, then we have to climb out of that smaller hole.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, it's been a pleasure to talk with you about all of this, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed that we're going to continue on an upswing. And thank you so very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Michael Farron of the Mercatus Center, George Mason University. All right, we're going to take our break. And, you know, New York, where everything, happens in a big way, the whole state. I wonder how they feel about this defunding of the police department. We're going to talk to our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, about that after the break.
Climb into my machine so we can cruise on out. I know a swinging little joint where we can jump and shout. It's not too far back off the highway, not so long a ride.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm
Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We're back. We are back. And strange world that we are going through these days. Is it not? Delighted to have our eye in the northern sky join us, as he does every Monday. Angelo Ceresi. He lives in Rochester. He's a brother of Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, who is a big part of our show. And Angelo, first of all, are things settling down in Rochester regarding all of the demonstrations and riots and stuff?
Well, we've had our protests, peaceful protests, like again yesterday and Saturday. It's been going on every day since this thing started, you know.
But you said peaceful.
Peaceful ones, yes.
Well, that's good news.
Yes.
And what do you think? You know, we've been talking a little bit on the show about this defunding topic. In Minneapolis, there's a serious attempt by the city council to defund the police department. There's such anger, apparently, there. And it's a veto-proof city council. It looks like they could do it if they really want, although the mayor of Minneapolis is pushing back. So I look at Rochester. I don't know too much about their internal politics, but knowing what you know, do you think there'd be any kind of legitimate push to defund the Rochester Police Department?
There might be. I don't know. They may try to do something. We have, you know, Rochester, fairly good-sized city. I mean, it's pretty, you know, they tried to diversify the city police department. And there's some violent protests a couple of weeks ago when this thing started, you know.
Yeah. Not to put you up against a wall or anything, if you know this, though, what percentage do you think of the Rochester Police Department is minority?
50? I would try to say maybe 30%, 40%. Okay. I could be wrong. I mean,
no, but it's under 50%, correct? Is that about right?
Yes. Okay. You know, they have recruitments for the black police officers. They're always trying to recruit minority police officers.
Right.
In fact, when I came home from the service, you know, I was in the combat security police. I tried getting into the police department because that's all I knew, you know. And I couldn't even get in because they had what was going on, some kind of a program. I forget what it was called.
But you're talking about like back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s, yes.
Okay, so you come back from the Vietnam War, and are you saying that there was an outreach in the police department for minority candidates?
At the time, there was, yes.
Okay. Well, that's
but
right around
in 1964, I went into the service in 1967. In 1964, they had the riots here in Rochester. Big riots.
In 64? That
early? 64.
Wow, that's even earlier than the Watts riot in 1965 in Los Angeles.
Yes, yeah, so we had them here in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it all started, you know, they called it, at the time they called it race riots, you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, so they had a program going into to hire minority police officers when I came back from the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even get in. I mean, it's like I tried getting in the sheriff's department, and I didn't know it was political at the time. Mm-hmm. I was a young kid, 22 years old, when I got out of school.
Right, right.
And, you know, I said, geez, I can get killed for my country, but I can't get a job here.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
The excuse that I wore glasses, you know, that
what?
I wore glasses at the time.
Really? And that was an impediment to being a cop?
At the time, yeah, for me, they told me, yeah.
No kidding.
You can get killed for your country, but you couldn't get...
You can go hired in the police department. You can go on the front lines in Vietnam with glasses, but not become a policeman?
Right.
Wow. You know,
so,
it's,
you know, yeah, talk indeed, about.
Indeed. We're talking with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. He's in Rochester, New York. With all of the things going on there in New York, you know, it's like, it's been what? The unwilling epicenter of the news.
Well, you don't hear anything anymore about coronavirus.
Not much.
You know, all you hear about now is like white privilege, people taking a knee. White privilege, I mean, I didn't go to Canada. I didn't burn my draft card. And when I came home, I was called baby killer, murderer, you know. What white privilege did I have?
Right.
I mean, and these protesters were the same ones. I mean, the ones who were protesting back then calling us baby killer and murderer were the ones who didn't go into the service. They went into college to get out of the draft. You know, they went to Canada. President Carter, back in early 70s, when he became elected as president, pardoned them all, welcomed them back home. Tell me, that wasn't a slap in the face to me or to any veteran that went Vietnam.
No question about it. You know, I want to get back, if I might, because we're going to talk about it a little later. Actually, about the similarities between 1968 and 2020, and this is what I mean. In 1968, as you remember, two major assassinations, Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. We also had the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, and a huge, as you remember, I'm sure, huge rioting at that time and demonstrations.
At the Democratic National Convention.
Around Chicago, not just in Chicago, but around the country. And remember that Lyndon Johnson, at that time, was president. He declined to run again, and Hubert Humphrey was now going to be the nominee. And anyway, the people were upset. It was more of a, you know, a Democratic Party was more conservative, you might say, back then. And Lyndon Johnson was certainly considered kind of a conservative Democrat, and there was a lot of, you know, demonstrating against his administration. Anyway, here we come, and Nixon becomes the law and order candidate for the Republican Party, right? In 68. So here we are in 2020. We have demonstrations much similar to what happened in 1968. You know, the same causal reason for the demonstrations.
Right.
And in November, do you think people will do the same thing they did in 1968, re-elect Trump in this case, because Trump will claim to be the law and order candidate?
I would hope so, because, you know, now that they keep talking about defunding the police departments or doing away with police departments, to me, that's the beginning of the end of America as we know it. Because Hitler did the same thing in the 1930s in Germany, get rid of the police department, and put in his own people there, the stormtroopers, the Gestapo and everything. That will be the beginning of the end of America, because what these protesters want to do is turn America around. They want to turn it into a country similar to what communism is or what Nazi Germany was going to be. And people, these people that were rioting back in the 60s, like the Weatherman Underground and everything, is what the Democratic Party has become. The protesters, Antifa and all this other stuff, want to turn this country into a communist country.
So there is a, in your point of view, there is an actual game plan here, say, between some of the far left
mob people and the Antifa people. In fact, the other night I was watching this one former director, an assistant director of the FBI. He was back in the 60s. He was talking about 1968, where you had the Weatherman Underground. Remember that?
Oh, I do.
You had the Weatherman Underground, They had
something called the Chicago 7. Do you remember Jerry Rubin?
Chicago 7.
Jerry Rubin and some of those people?
Right. All these people were, is what the Democratic Party today uses some of their lyrics. In fact, this director, he wrote a book. I can't remember if his name was Turchi or something. But he wrote a book, and he says that some of the warnings of these, the Chicago 7 and everything, is what the Democratic Party espouses. The first thing that came out of their mouths of the Democratic Party after the day that Trump was inaugurated, I think it was inaugurated or when he won the election, called the resistance. They were forming the resistance. And this is what the Democratic Party, this has all been planned to overthrow this president from day one. They have gone by every means. The Mueller report didn't work. The coronavirus isn't working, so they're coming up with all this other stuff. How come you don't hear anything anymore about the coronavirus? You had to social distance yourselves. You had to do this. You had to do that. But, yeah, you can get thousands of people going into these protests, kneeling, sitting next to each other and everything. You don't hear, that's okay. What happened?
Yeah.
I have to question that, you know. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like all they have tried to do, everything, just seems coincidental. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I don't know. The words that former director was talking about the other night really resonated with what's been going on.
I think there is a lot of talk about, you know, maybe there really is some sort of leadership in some way, shape, or form
to overthrow this government
behind all of the chaos that's going on. I think
absolutely.
I think, though, to some extent, these different communities where all of this has occurred, you know, all of the immediate rising up and protesting, and then the rioting itself, you know. It's almost like, you know, there is a cry for help coming out of all of this. I
understand that.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's good cops, there's bad cops. But if you don't have a police, you know, we're a nation of laws, you know, and if you don't have a police department, you're going to have anarchy. This is, you know, granted, it has to be reformed and stuff, and I mean, you know, I'm sure that there have been things not moving fast enough, maybe. I don't know. I've seen a lot change. I mean, like, from when I came home, I mean, you know, it's like when I tried to get in, they had all these different rules. The word I was talking about was affirmative action.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I got caught up in that affirmative action bit.
Right.
That's here what... I go and fight for my country. I can't even get a job.
Yeah.
Go figure. But yet, I'm being accused of having white privilege. I don't think so. Right. I'll never take a knee. I mean, I paid my dues. And right. There's a lot of people that never did.
Yeah, that's another sign of what I was trying to get at, though, wasn't the police brutality or anything. It was the hopelessness of living in inner cities over all of these generations. And when something like this occurs, it's almost like a convenient outlet to express your frustration with your own life. That's what I kind of meant. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you know, I can understand people being frustrated. I mean, I experienced the same frustration myself.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
When I came home. I mean, I never experienced being spit upon. I mean, on American uniform, I mean, I was actually spit upon when I came home from, you know, from Vietnam in California.
Yeah, that is atrocious.
In my mind.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Nor can I ever forgive the people that did that to us. I mean, when we were in Vietnam, there was no such thing as black or white or anything. We bled, all of us, red, white, and blue. We took care of each other.
Right.
You know? Granted, I guess there was a disproportion of blacks versus whites. They said going to Vietnam, whatever. I was one of what they called... who was the defense secretary back then?
McNamara.
We were called McNamara's moron. You know why? Because we were put into the military.
Yeah, Robert.
They categorized us. Those of it were those of us that were a need to society and those of us that weren't, you know?
Yeah.
They consider all these people going to college and everything, they were needed for society. But those of us that didn't go to college, right, we were considered expendable.
Well, here's an interesting, ironic thing about it. First of all, Robert McNamara came out of the Kennedy administration and continued on into the Lyndon Johnson.
That's an administration, yes.
In administration. He was one of those Ivy Leaguers that, you know, one of the group of the elites that John Kennedy had recruited.
Right.
He never got his hands dirty, ever. But he was the guy that, after all of the reporting came out that we were not in that the administration was not intent on winning the war. They were not intent on doing the things that they would really need to do to win the war. They knew they weren't going to win the war, and yet they continued to fight and sacrifice the lives
our
of
life.
our American boys.
Right.
And then he writes a book. Then he writes a book after all of those years. I never forgave him. He writes a book, Robert McNamara, about saying, yes, I was wrong. And he makes money off the book.
Right.
What a hypocrite.
You know, it's like, when I started having problems with my heart and stuff like that, when I came back from Vietnam and stuff like that, the nurses would call you at home, you know, from the HMOs and stuff like that before the VA really started taking care of us. And she goes, well, how could you have prevented, how could you have prevented from getting sick like this and this and that? I said, well, let me guess. I could have gone to Canada, maybe, huh?
Right.
I mean, I could have gone to Canada, and nothing would have happened. That would have been okay. I wouldn't have had those problems that I have today.
Exactly.
You know,
the same thing after World War II. The guys that were on the front lines defending our country came back, and so many of them had all that trauma.
Right.
And they were the true heroes.
And today...
And then, you know, you go... Were they forgotten also? Were they, you know what I mean? I mean, it's I guess it's the nature of war to some extent that occurs.
But you know, the thing is, you're getting back to the thing like with the police departments, you cannot do away with these police departments.
Of course.
These groups that are calling for the disbandment of the police department, the defunding of police departments, are the ones that want to overthrow this country. And have a country that is lawless. Because what's going to happen is these people are going to take up the void of the police departments. They have their own militia and their own police, just like Hitler did with Germany. Mm-hmm. And the Bolsheviks did in 1917.
Yeah.
Where they have their own people, their own police. Right.
Yeah, and then the chaos, and then all the executions. Yeah, I know.
Right.
You got it. I think that's something to worry about. We got to run, my friend. I want to thank you so much, Angelo. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Stay safe, and we'll talk again next
Monday.
Thank
you. Have a good week. Take care. Bye.
Angelo Cerisi. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 greatest action films of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Network. And if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. You'll see all the shows we've been doing most recently, including the guest in the top 10. And thank you very much to Big Ed for always setting that up for us. We much appreciate it. All right. Ed, Andrew would be very happy about this particular story. The Michigan Supreme Court on Friday unanimously sided with a barber who reopened his shop in defiance of the governor. Did you hear about that one? He just decided, I'm going to open it no matter what this governor, who is Gretchen Whitmer, your buddy Gretchen Whitmer, no matter what she says.
I think you'll be upset because he could have should have beat him to it.
Well, in Michigan, they were not open and are not opening things as quickly as Governor DeSantis is opening here in Florida. And it seems like, from all I can see, and by the way, I was back at my friendly little sports bar, you know about, down the street from the barber shop. They were, it seemed almost like things were normal. Now, they spaced the tables. They put a big X on certain tables around you so that there won't be people sitting right next to you.
Now, you still smoke in there?
You can't smoke.
No.
You can go outside,
really?
And they have a smoking. They have an open area. They've got a canopy.
I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, not a canopy, but you know, they've
outside.
And it's like almost like a carport kind of thing.
Right.
You can go out there and you can sit in the chairs. They have televisions outside there on the wall. You can actually sit there and have a cigarette if you want and watch the television.
Now, is that going to be permanent?
Yeah.
Why did they do that, because of COVID or
no? It was done before COVID.
Just decided to be no more smoking?
It was coincidental. I mean, they had already set up the outside non-smoking.
Because they were forever, they were always smoking in there. I mean, forever.
Yeah, and it kept a lot of people from going there.
It was thick, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, my friend, it's time for you to get over on the drums. We have a good one, I think. And Ed, I'm going to leave number one to see if you can figure it out. So you'll have to listen, Ed. You can't fall asleep when I'm doing this one.
All right?
Yeah. These are the top 10 greatest action films of all time, according to New Arena. Okay? Here we go. Number 10. First Blood with Sylvester Stallone. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's the first...
First
Rambo.
It's the first Rambo. Came out in 1982. John Rambo, a lonely, misunderstood vet, blamed as the cause of trouble. And away we go. And they did how many of those? They must have done five or six.
He did four. Four, either four, and then the final one was five, one or the other.
Okay, well, very successful. Number nine, Aliens with the S. With the S.
And so that's two, that's the second one.
Yes, it is. Yeah. 1986, you're right. Sigourney Weaver, where the original had its crew scurrying about, frightened of dark passageways. The second one has Ripley, who's the character that Sigourney Weaver plays, ridding their alien foes with unmitigated laser fire.
Yeah, because the first one was kind of, you met the alien. The second one, the aliens were all over the place.
Which one did you prefer?
I'd have to go with two.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting. Number eight. Predator. You remember that one with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
1987. Able to outwit and outgun the team at the destructive actions they are best at, these alien menaces take on Dutch and his group.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah, very good. You did see it. Number seven. The Raid with Iko, I-K-O, Uwais, or U-W-A-I-S. Do you know that one?
No.
2012. Marketed to the U.S. as a sleeper Indonesian hit, its limited release, a near tragedy. It's a Jackie Chan movie. Remember Jackie Chan,
yeah.
Martial arts?
Yeah.
Okay. Number six. Kill Bill, Volume 1.
That bored me. I couldn't watch it.
You did see it. That was with Uma Thurman in 2003. And Kung Fu, Samurai. Oh. They tried to throw all kinds of different fighting arts into it. Okay, number five. Mad Max Fury Road. Did you see that?
Did not see that one.
2015, Tom Hardy as Max. And Charlize Theron is also in it.
Yeah.
And away they go. You know the Mad Max movies, right?
Yeah.
Going down the Australian desert. Okay. Number four. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay.
Remember it.
That's when he comes back as the friendly Terminator.
That's right. 1991. He does indeed. He befriends a boy in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I never got into those series. I tried to watch them a few times. It just, eh.
Well, that was 1981 with Harrison Ford, and it was all during that Star Wars, Jaws, you know, with Spielberg and Lucas and the whole bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two. The Matrix. The Matrix. Did you see that?
No.
Keanu Reeves.
Okay, yeah, I probably watched
1990,
it.
1990, I remember the black-suited villains and all of that kind of thing. And it's a mind thing, and you know, hook up and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ed.
I'm going to go with Iron Man or something like that. I don't know.
Well, don't say something like that. Give me a movie.
Iron Man.
So you're going with Iron Man. All right, drum roll. You're absolutely wrong. It was Die Hard. Bruce Willis, 1988. Where he was actually a guy that could bleed. He wasn't some sort of a superhero.
Yeah.
And he was in that tall building, remember?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those?
That is probably right.
I know there was Die Harder and...
And it was supposedly a Christmas movie. Because
second
place,
one was, yeah.
It took
one.
Place during Christmas.
Yeah, they're both are Christmas movies.
It was a Christmas movie, yeah. Right. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow. Freedom Orcs.